The Devil's Advocates radio show is broadcast under a time brokerage agreement between Devil Radio and Civic Media, Inc. Some portions of this program may be pre-recorded. Warning! You're about to listen to the greatest radio show ever, and due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Civic Media Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning, welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
And now, here's your hosts, Dom and Crute.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Partisan primary election eve edition. Dom, how you doing, little buddy?
Crutey, I'm doing fantastic. Good to be back with you on the radio. Rich working hard on the board. Our fair audience, you can join us, 844-967-2789. Is this the greatest radio show ever, or is it just AI? Come on, man.
We don't utilize AI here. I'm not even smart enough to utilize, like, spell check, Dom. Screws me every time. If I am putting something in written form, just expect some irregularities in the spelling. That's all I have to say. I meant to do that. Leave it alone, spell check. Dom, we can get there. The accusations
Oh, my God.
Crowd enhancement via AI care of the Trump campaign over the weekend, Dom. But, you know, Trump's campaign, they always make big promises. They made some big, big promises.
We're going to build the wall and Mexico's going to pay for it? Like that one?
Well,
or the infrastructure. The healthcare plan, repeal and replace, is coming in 2 weeks. Like that?
As much as I liked all those promises that never came true, Dom.
Yeah.
Foxconn. What about the Foxconn, Dom? Dave Zweifel, our friend over at the Cap Times, writes today, the great Trump economy is a myth. It was always a fiction of him and Scotty Wanker. Let's not forget about Scott Walker.
A hoax.
I would indeed say whatever they were selling was a hoax, Dom. The magic beans didn't bear the Foxconn fruit. Let's just put it that way. So Weefel writes over the Cap Times. I'm going to get us started today, Dom, with this one. I met a guy from Racine County, village of Mount Pleasant, and of all places, a bar across the street from Chicago's Wrigley Field the other day. Now, that's not Crutey going there. That's Dave Zweifel. I would, never be day drinking. Leave that to you, Dom. And Dave Zweifel, of course. Of course, I had to ask him how things were going in Wisconsin community that had been jilted by the giant Taiwanese computer screen and iPhone assembler Foxconn. You know, the one that Donald Trump and Scott Walker, Wanker, as I like to call him, told us we're going to bring 13,000 jobs to Southeast Wisconsin and become the eighth wonder of the world. What a Hail Mary. This guy laughed and said he knew several of the families that reluctantly sold their homes to make way for the development, but added that Microsoft picked up the ball and has really started going to town building that new billion-dollar data center on those vacant Foxconn acres. Now, longtime Wisconsin businessman and West Bend newspaper publisher John Torinas, who will never be confused with being a liberal, recently called the Microsoft project at Mount Pleasant the biggest economic win for Wisconsin in decades, and added that it's happening right now. That'd be in contrast to the future nebulous promises of the great Foxconn, right, Dom? It's like the, don't look behind the curtain.
happening right now, as in right now under the Evers administration, I would also note.
Dom, the company has already acquired 2 square miles of property, Tarinas noted in one of his blog posts, adding that only last week it was revealed that it has purchased another 173 acres. That's a huge block of acreage, and it could spell a total of $10 billion in investments and an untold number of good, high-paying jobs over the coming decades. Now, I was sitting in the front row, Dom, at the Assembly Parlor in the Wisconsin State Capitol, and Robin Voss, your buddy, the they've never recalled him yet, they've sought to recall him a couple of times,
not for lack of effort.
He is the, Speaker of the Assembly, longest serving in Wisconsin history. But I was in the Assembly Parlor the day they rolled out Foxconn, the fiction that was the future Foxconn, Dom. And the craziest part, the well-paying jobs, as they were described at the time, were supposed to pay like $13 an hour.
I think they were initially sold as higher. But as we
Scott Walker was promising gloriously high wages on the... Well, the 13,000 jobs from Foxconn, but the 20,000 ancillary jobs, don't forget about those.
Right. Yeah.
Promised by Scott Walker in the Hail Mary that was Foxconn. You know, because he was trying to resuscitate his political career. And, you know, after his...
And he was woefully short on his 250,000 job promise after 8 years, let alone 4.
That is also true, Dom. And he had gone on the road for nearly a year running for president, phoning it in for 15 minutes a day, and couldn't even make it to Iowa. You know, they complain about Kamala Harris. Couldn't make it to Iowa. Yeah, neither did your boy Walker. Anyways.
Pretty Dave is weeful at the Cap Times. He continues regarding the Foxconn, as Dave writes, but the revived Mount Pleasant development is just a piece of how the economy has soared since Trump left office. That he continues to claim that during his presidency, the economy was the best in history, proves that the ex-president doesn't know economic data from cucumbers, Tornis quipped. Now, as Weeful writes, while Trump speaks of what he calls American carnage at his endless rallies, the truth is that during the nearly 4 years of Joe Biden's presidency, the economy has dramatically outperformed the previous 4 years. And that's true right here in Wisconsin. Now, this seems to be a no-brainer. I mean, we lived through it, right? I mean, again, this is national data versus personal finances. I get the differences here, but I mean, how can you look at that and not think that that's the case? And of course, the data shows it, as Weeful writes. The state's unemployment rate, 2.9%, has been the lowest in history. A record 3,048,000 people are employed. The state has a nearly $4 billion budget surplus. Compare that with Trump's addition of $7 trillion to the national debt, Tornis pointed out. While wages grew 8.4% more than inflation during Trump's tenure, they have risen further under Biden. Let's say that again. While wages grew 8.4% more than inflation during Trump's tenure, they've risen further under Biden. The business-friendly blogger is quick to insist, though, that economic successes like job creation and prosperity have much more to do with the big corporations and smart business people than presidents or governors, perhaps, but administrations set the stage and their policies help fuel the economic engines. Trump focused on getting tax cuts for the already rich, but helping working people achieve pay raises and governmental incentives are what creates the buying power that moves the economy in the right direction. It's called trickle up, not trickle down. And that's the difference between the Trump years and Biden's and Harris's administration. Just one more reason this year's presidential election is so important, Dave Zweifel over at the Cap Times.
You know, I took my boys out to lunch today. And as we were walking through, we actually sat outside. That's unimportant. The important part is what was playing on the television, CNBC on the screen. And 59% of the American people in new polling perceive that we're currently in a recession. And my, now 18-year-old, my 18-year-old's like, people are dumb. We're not in a recession, Dad. You know, look at the economic data. Because that would imply contraction in 2 consecutive quarters, and we haven't done that. Because he knows what a recession is. I never took an econ class, but he's quite smart. So, why the misconception about the economy, Dom, I know it was easy to cast Joe Biden as something other than reality. Because the reality was, or at least the perception was, too old to vigorously campaign for the job. That was the biggest complaint about Joe Biden. But really, really, if you dig down on the financial numbers, no, it's been a great economy under Biden. Just look a little harder. Now, if your personal economy, if you are sitting at the kitchen table and having a hard time buying all the groceries you used to buy, well, that certainly reflects upon your perception of the economy. But quite frankly, you know, words have meanings. And we're not in a recession. We're in a good economic stretch. And quite frankly, all that Kamala crash last Monday, Tom.
Oh, yeah.
Remember last Monday, a week ago?
So long ago. Oh, that's right. That was a week ago. Where's the Kamala growth spurt. None of that? None of that? I mean, we ended the week flat for crying out loud. At least the Dow did. Yeah, I'm sure there was a lot of transactions.
After the full recovery of the Kamala crash. And the so-called Kamala crash was actually, according to my 18-year-old, created by a lot of wagering in the yen. And the yen had been trading very, very cheaply. You could borrow yen very, very cheaply in Japan. That's their monetary system. Most of you know that. I'm saying it for Dom's sake. Yeah, but the yen apparently has been trading at exceptionally low interest rates. When they raised, and you know how people are, when money's cheap, Dom, they leverage up, right? And they make these stacked bets, these leveraged bets. So anyways, Japanese Central Bank raised interest rates and forced a lot of people to unwind their bets against the yen or in yen currency. And then how do they get their money? Because they've been borrowing the money in yen. But you know what they've been doing? Investing the money in the U.S. stock exchange. So when you owe money on your yen, you got to go cash out your stock. So you got enough liquidity to pay back the other margin calls that have come due. And I looked at my 18-year-old and I'm like, are you sure? He sure seems sure, Dom.
Oh, you know, you say it with confidence, it must be true. That seems way too logical. I'm just going to call it the Kamala crash because that's political and that's what they did. Of course, there's no take backs. There's no correction or apologies.
But here's the interesting part, Dom, at least here in the great state of Wisconsin. Foxconn, baby! You can't turn that fiction into a success story for Wanker, not for you, Donald Trump. Anyone here in the state of Wisconsin remembers the promises they made and never fulfilled, right? Foxconn. You got something to say? Talk to my Foxconn. And then shut up. Come back, more Devil's Advocates. 844-967-2789. Best argument ever. Foxconn.
The Devil's Advocates. So relevant, they have one foot in tomorrow.
And welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Happy days to us all. You can join the political party. Dial the lines 844-967-2789.
Dominic, tomorrow, a partisan primary in the great state of Wisconsin. If you haven't early voted yet, too late now. They're setting up the machines for the big election. I understand civic media will have election coverage. Polls close at 8 o'clock. I would suspect it will start by then. So tune in here and find out how the partisan primary turns out. And I would encourage all of you to vote no twice on the constitutional amendment questions. Flip it over, vote no twice, and then, you know, give these Republicans a middle finger because they're not trying to help you out. They're trying to stick it to Tony Evers.
Come on. They'll be totally efficient. These guys will be fine distributing, you know, federal disaster money, because efficient and timely is exactly how you think of the GOP.
They didn't legislate for over 300 days during the pandemic, Dom. Don't tell me that is some sort of efficiency. They also...
Well, the scam demic, of course they did, man. They weren't believers in that. That was a hoax.
Hoax. Kind of like the Foxconn.
Yeah,
hoax. Right. You want a hoax? That is a monumental multi-billion dollar hoax hoisted upon the people of Mount Pleasant and the taxpayers of the state of Wisconsin.
Hoisted. I mean, thrown at, beat down upon. They use eminent domain to steal people's homes for private international development. What? I can't believe Republicans were for that. They're all mad about China buying up property, but hey, Taiwan, come on in. We'll give you all this money and just write it on the back of the napkin. It'll be totally fine. I'm Scott Walker, and if I do anything, I got rid of a $3.6 billion budget deficit in the state of Wisconsin, man. I'm a wheeler and dealer. That's what Scott Walker thinks, of course. So he did the napkin deal, tried to do this thing. Well, come on. It was never going to work, man. People knew that up front. Come on. I can't believe we're still talking about this. And don't tell me, well, hey, we had the bones built and at least an effort for Microsoft to come in and pick up the pieces. No, man, that wasn't what you sold. You know, whatever we get now is beyond that. We're on step 2, 3, and 4. Because remember, they were going to do all sorts of stuff out there, like fish farming and making all sorts of medical equipment.
8.5G screens, something Scott Walker made up on the spot during a speech one day.
Come on. So, yes, it was a disaster. It was forced upon the people of overseeing. And again, I just cannot... It's hard for me to fathom how the Republicans are just so nonchalant about using the force of government to steal people's homes, to forcibly buy them out. Okay, it's not stealing. But you know what I'm saying? It's not like you're building a highway or something along those lines where this was originally supposed to be for eminent domain. Oh, no, man, we got a great idea. We got a selling point. We got Donald Trump. We got the eighth wonder of the world. We're going to take all your stuff. Oh, sorry, didn't work out. My bad. Terrible.
Well, they did get a track, so you cash the check probably. Suck it. And what about the taxpayers who built all the infrastructure for this eighth wonder of the world that never came to fruition? This hoax, hoisted, force-fed to the people of the great state of Wisconsin.
Could you call it a fraud? I mean, I mean, if they came into this with really no intent to do that.
I'm not sure if it was... rises to the level of some sort of criminal conspiracy, but this was wishful thinking at best. It was a pipe dream and a Hail Mary. And of course, this was entirely all this investment, biggest investment, a foreign corporation in any state's history, right? That was, if it worked, that was the plan. But of course, this investment of other people's money, well, was just an extension of Scott Walker's political ambition because he needed a re-election campaign issue. If Foxconn had worked out, he might still be Governor Walker for all we know. Probably better off now with the lake house in Pewaukee, Scott.
And the Adolf's
Foundation?
Young America's Foundation. Yes, that's right.
I hear he makes like 70 grand a month working for them, 800 grand a year. It's good work if you can get it.
Well, I mean, all that selling out of Wisconsin's interest for his own. I mean, come on. Isn't that how you do it? They toe the line, you get the donations. And if you get kicked out, you know, we'll put you in charge of some nonprofit that will fund through our, you know, tax deductible charities and yada, yada, yada. One hand washes the other. They both wash in a face. Thank you for the tax cuts.
You know, I was doing some land development of my own this weekend.
Developer Crudy, huh?
I went to the hardware store up near the, you know, lake cabin we have. And I think I've mentioned before, my wife and I wanted, you know, sort of a, not a retirement place, but a place to go to in Wisconsin because we're getting rid of the kids here soon. So yeah, we're going to this lake and I'm going to live there full time. I'm looking forward to it, but couldn't really afford a nice house on a nice lake. So my wife wanted a nicer home, so she got that. And we've done some improvements already because she also does that. But I have been improving the waterfront because it wasn't the nicest waterfront of all time. A, bought a pier. That was quite an endeavor last year. But B, bought a long-ass pier mostly to get beyond the stumps sitting immediately off the shore. Apparently it used to
No diving off the pier into the stumps. That's bad.
Well, you could technically run off the end of the pier, but I had to add another like 16 feet of pier because last time we got to the end of the pier and there was like a tree underneath. And I'm like, oh God, you know, someone's going to not know, jump at night and jump into this tree. So I already added plenty of pier. But this weekend, I got it in my mind that I'm going to go out there and pull these stumps. And I just wanted to see if I could do it. So I started with the wooden shovel, snapped that baby in about 15 minutes, drove to the hardware store, got a steel-handled shovel, and I could put my full weight, just hammer on these stumps.
You're in the water doing this now? This
yeah, all the way up to like my chest. You know, you got to dig on the root system, and then you use this steel-handled shovel just to get some leverage. And then I'd rock on them, and then eventually they'd come free, about 20, 30 minutes of stump.
Yeah, man.
Dude, I got about 15 stumps out of the water. But it's like I went to the gym and I maxed out at every discipline. Quads, obliques, shoulders, back, chest, neck, every inch of my body is
dude, just you've been doing legs, bro?
Well, I utilize my legs, but I did kind of skip leg day.
Yeah.
So now there's only like a third as many stumps in the water as used to be. I feel much better, though. I didn't think I could do it.
The Devil's Advocates know how to kick ass and chew bubblegum, and we're all out of bubblegum.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show Dance Party Monday edition. Welcome back, Dominic. Welcome back, everyone. 844-967-2789. You can always play a part in this big show. And Dom, as promised, Katrina Shanklin, congressional candidate in Wisconsin's 3rd CD. She will appear on this fine program later in the happier happy hour after 5 Central time. But I've been doing my booking. And I wanted to put a bow on that story. The flirting with disaster story. So I'm out doing my tree stump removal, and I've got this shiny new steel-handled shovel so I can lean hard on this thing and rip these roots out and get these, you know, and these aren't big tree stumps. These are, you know, 3-4 inch around tree stumps, you know, more of like shin busters and foot puncturing right. sort of tree stumps. They're not the big honkers, just so
right.
no one thinks I've somehow dug out 15 massive. That didn't happen. Little ones. But they are a pain in the ass. So I'm working hard and I got my shovel and I'm pulling it towards myself. And I don't know if you've ever Polish arm wrestled, we called it when I was a kid, where you pull towards yourself and someone's, and then they let go and you hit yourself in the face.
Yeah.
Well, think that concept. And I got this shiny new steel handled thing. And I'm pulling so hard, and I'm trying to rip these roots out, and I'm pulling towards myself. I got my legs, my whole body, putting every ounce of weight, and I got a lot of weight behind this thing. I'm bending this steel pole. That's how much I'm pulling. And the rubber handle came flying off. And so...
Well, you're doing this in the water, right?
I mean, I'm in the water, so I go flying backwards, like I'm doing the Nestle plunge, right? My head was about 6 inches from the steel pier, aluminum pier. I could have had a cabinet injury to rival Scott Walker's.
I don't know, man. That's one hell of an injury. That injury seems to get worse every year.
Well, have you ever noted the actual Foxconn picture when they've got the shovels? And no steel shovels. Not like the one I was using. With the, you know, orange Fiskars handle on the top. But Scott Walker's bald spot is the most pronounced I've ever seen it publicly. No good looking hair that day, Dom. It's like a landing ramp down the left side of his forehead. I mean, he's like got 4 inches of bald landing strip. And I'm not a guy with great hair. I've got plenty of scalp wounds through the years. Yeah. It all starts with the scalp wound, doesn't it, Scott Walker?
GLH means great looking hair.
But here's, let me bring it back to wanker and the politics.
Okay, all right.
Interesting little, text sent to our buddy Rich, our fine producer. He barely screens the phone calls here at 844-967-2789. And it is a visual representation of the wankers. Kind of got that meh look on his face. And behind them, there's like a pile of money in the background, the image of this picture. And what it says is, don't let right-wing governors like Scott Walker spend federal aid without oversight. The legislature should not give away its responsibility to allocate money to the next Scott Walker. Vote yes. And then require legislature to approve money spent by the next Scott Walker. Vote yes. Understanding that voting yes is what Scott Walker would want you to do. They have basically reversed the notion. They're using reverse psychology on people. They're putting Scott Walker out there, which we all find distasteful. I mean, he's got a very, I've got to say it, Dom, rhetorically speaking, a very punchable face. And, you know, you just, you get a reaction. Those of us that went through the uprising, live in this great state, saw him attack the unions, attack all the good people of this state. Divide and conquer the state of Wisconsin.
It's in the words, man.
And let's not forget about the Foxconn, right? The Foxconn, the greatest fraud ever hoisted upon the taxpayers of the state of Wisconsin. But to use his image in this deceitful way, because, of course, the right answer is vote no on these constitutional amendments. But they do make a point. If Wanker had been the governor, we would have been screaming bloody murder. We would have wanted some sort of legislative oversight. Unfortunately, the whole time Scott Walker was the governor, he had a go-along assembly and once they won in 2010, they gerrymandered the maps for the next decade.
Oh, come on. Better candidates, better ideas. And now with the new maps that we're using in this electoral cycle, I guess we'll get to see how good their candidates and how good their ideas are.
We will. Dom, what about the candidate up there in Barron County? Did you hear about him? Daniel Bice, over on the page 6 of the Journal Sentinel today. Assembly candidate ran his local party so badly, the state GOP shut it down.
And this is a state GOP that was complicit in, you know, trying to overturn the government. The same GOP that, what, got their account hacked for millions of dollars?
Well, I can't say that the state party was complicit, but the director of the state party and the new director of the state party were both complicit. Come on, man. Yes,
If the leadership's involved, I'm just going to say, it's them.
Very well could be, Dom. I'm just trying to cast accuracy as much as we can. Yes, there are some bad legislative candidates on the ballot Tuesday. In Milwaukee, there's a Democratic Assembly candidate who's campaigning while on work release after being convicted of his second drunk driving offense recently. In Portage, there's another Democrat running
for... Can you get an Uber to go campaign? Is that one of the 12-hour shifts, I guess?
Apparently you can, Dom.
All right.
In Portage, another Democrat running for an assembly seat has criticized the looks and intelligence of the people he wants to represent. A la Tim Michaels, right?
Right. And one more, not a great strategy.
One more Democrat in Sun Prairie disputes an audit that accused him and his company of bilking millions of dollars in welfare funds to boost executive salaries and pay for cross-country trips while operating in Kansas.
Ooh, damn.
But,
But
Jimmy Swenson, a Republican running in the 67th Assembly District, the fighting 67th, Dom, might have them all beaten. As the chairman of the Barron County Republican Party in Barron County, that's where our friend Chris from Rice Lake's from, that's Barron County, Chetek, up north of Eau Claire, that's sort of up that way, that's where Barron County's at. As chairman of the Barron County Republican Party, Swenson ran the party with such a dictatorial hand that the state party launched an investigation into the matter late last year. And what their investigators found was a county party in disarray.
In disarray. I told you, man, the Republican Party's in disarray.
Dom, they laid out their conclusions in a 6-page document into the general lack of transparency under Swenson and his team. Decisions were made in closed sessions or by email. Members weren't told basic information. Republicans from outside the county were allowed to vote on county party matters. Are you allowed to do that? Apparently in Barron County you were.
And sounds like it's not right.
And the secretary and executive committee were effectively booted from office. And meeting to oust the chairman and vice chairman were ruled null and void. Who's left up there? Earlier this year, the executive committee of the state Republican Party voted unanimously to revoke the charter for the Perrin County Republican Party, finding it had repeatedly violated its own constitution.
Well, of course, they're megas. That's what they do.
The membership of the county party, once in the hundreds, was down to fewer than 10.
Is it even a party if there's 10 people? It's more like a get-together.
Dom, in March, the Barron County Republican Party set up a new charter and was officially reconstituted as a county party. Swenson was no longer in the leadership post. The adults in the room were finally back in charge, claims State Senator Romaine Quinn, a Rice Lake Republican at the time. But Swenson's running for assembly himself, right, Dom? You got this?
Yeah, Swenson is running Tuesday against Republican State Rep. Dave Armstrong for a state assembly seat. If elected, Swenson promises to create similar havoc at the state level, saying he will take on the global establishment rhinos who are running the assembly in the state GOP.
Didn't Scott Walker go on the campaign trail as a presidential candidate and claim he was going to wreak havoc? Just he like he had wreaked did. Havoc here in the state of Wisconsin?
He also said he would favor slashing most state government agencies if elected. How would I fit in? I would be the same old Jim Swenson, he said. They know that I will stand up and fight like hell for what's right. Others aren't so convinced, Daniel Bice writes of the Journal Sentinel. Quinn, a local senator, said Swenson would do more harm than good. Quinn is backing Armstrong for the seat. Armstrong came under criticism in 2020 for posting a video featuring former Ku Klux Klan leader David Duke and tweets in support of the Confederate flag.
Oh, that's the guy he's supporting? He's the other guy, the adult in the room?
He's the best one. Yeah, he's the one they want.
A much stronger candidate, I'm sure.
Better candidates, better ideas. Everyone in Madison knows who Jim is, and they know he's a joke, Quinn said. He makes no bones about it. He's planning to go down there to blow everything up. Now, it's not like Swenson doesn't have his supporters, Fruity. He's backed by many on the far right, such as State Rep. Timothy Rampton and my CEO, Mike Lindell.
Tim Rampton!
And the pillow guy.
I was just thinking to myself, you know who this guy reminds me of? Tim Rampton, the guy that tried to have us arrested.
And also backed by more than a dozen county party chairs. And, Crudy, you're going to love this one. Former Supreme Court Justice Michael Gableman.
Oh, of course he does.
Swenson at two meetings with state party officials.
Swenson. When you say Gableman, I got to say corrupted former Supreme Court Justice. Yes. Sorry.
I did not.
Yes. Sorry interrupt.
Say it again. No, I insist. What was that again?
Corrupted former Supreme Court Justice Michael Gableman endorses this fine candidate.
Yeah, but he's not the Ku Klux Klan Confederate flag guy.
No, that's the sane one. According to State Senator Romaine, Quinn, is he a salad or a senator? I'm sorry, please continue.
Swenson has enough support to get control of the Barron County Republican Party. Asked about the state GOP's decision to revoke his local party's charter, Swenson contends he did nothing wrong. He said he wrote the Constitution for the local party and followed it to a T. But you wrote the Constitution and the party accuses you of what, not following what you wrote? Well, contradiction here, Gertie. Now, Swenson, he saw the dispute.
Just
because
he wrote
struggle.
It doesn't mean he followed it. We've all made some promises on paper, have we not?
Swenson said the dispute was a power struggle between establishment Republicans, whom he called expletive birds, and true conservatives. He goes by the nickname The Hammer. He said because he is harder on rhinos, of course, Republicans in name only, than he is on Democrats. I'm a real Republican. They're not. The Hammer. You know what he did? This guy gave himself a nickname, didn't he?
You can't do that, T-Bone.
You can't do that, T-Bone. Come on. The Hammer. It's hammer time, Swenson.
844 967-2789. I was just going to get to callers, but if you think there's more important facts there.
I mean, you kind of get the gist. And he's the Confederate guy, he's the good one.
Not the Hammer. the Confederate flag guy, or was he?
Yeah. He was defending the Confederate flag and like reposted some David Duke. And that's the one. That's the normal one that they want to put in there.
The reposted the Ku Klux Klan Confederate flag defending guy. He's the sane one. And
according to, yes.
The corrupted Supreme Court Justice Michael Kiebelman endorsed, Tim Rantham endorsed, Swenson won. He might be problematic.
Don't forget, the pillow guy also endorsed Swenson. The
hammer. Mike Lindell.
Yeah, yeah.
I would really like to know who's the Democrat running in that race. maybe we can get to that. Come back with us. We are the Devil's Advocates. We'll take your phone calls. Appreciate your patience. 844-96-PARTY.
And taking names since the Wisconsin Uprising, the Devil's Advocates.
And welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Going to get to the lines. You can join us at 844-967-2789.
Let's take Ross from Crawford County. He's the most patient. Welcome, Ross. What do you got for us?
Hey, Ross.
Hey guys. Hey guys. Thanks for the show. And I really do appreciate it because... little report from the third district over here. You know, the campaign to get Van Orden out, and we have two viable, you know, Democratic women running for the position and the primaries tomorrow, of course. And I appreciate your guys' show because it's where I learned about Rebecca Cook, you know, and I knew that she was sort of the less quote experienced person, that she her experience is more like with her jobs and with her small business and maybe with some campaigning, and that Katrina Shanklin, the state representative in the Stevens Point area, has all this legislative experience. So it's this, you know, experience versus sort of what it really boils down to is that Rebecca Cook really had more fire in her belly, and I think it was last week, Crudy, you were sort of saying that Shanklin never responded to.
Well, now she's responded. Just for the record, Ross, she is going to appear on the show today. Katrina Shanklin will. 5:30 today.
Oh, great, great. Excellent. That's great. And I'm glad that she had, because I sent her a letter, you know, via her campaign, an email saying, like, what's the deal? What's the problem? But, you know, and so I was kind of leaning towards Cook because I'm like, you know, I think it might take a sort of an outsider to beat Van Orden. There's arguments for both sides. And then this soap opera shows up where Rebecca Cook had taken or allowed some, what they call, I guess, dark money. And then it ended up creating an advertisement against Shanklin that essentially wasn't true, sort of blaming Shanklin, sort of saying, kind of like what you were saying earlier with Walker, that she sort of colluded with the Republicans to pass a bill that would make sure that if the state was going to try to expand Medicare and Medicaid, that it would have to go through the legislature. And it turns out that this, I can't find the details about the bill, but it turns out that that's not true, that Shanklin has apparently been really working very hard for Badger Care and trying to improve health care. And I think it was the reason why Mark Pocan stuck his nose into the issue. Governor Evers got kind of pissed. And so it was really sort of frustrating because I was sort of like falling behind Cook. And then this happens. And it felt like a low blow. So, I mean, it sort of got me thinking about who to vote for tomorrow. But
well,
I'm looking forward to listening.
Point one thing out, Ross. There are attacks from the campaigns, right? We control, well, if you're a candidate for some, you control your campaign. And then there are third-party groups. Call it the dark money spending as you're qualifying it here. Understand that. I know that Scott Walker coordinated with third-party groups, but that was illegal when he was doing it, and it might be permitted in some strange, twisted Wild West way under state campaign finance laws. But federal candidates, people running for Congress, cannot coordinate with third-party groups. So effectively, someone might be supportive broadly or think that Rebecca Cook is the better candidate, but she didn't specifically craft that message. That didn't come from her campaign. Now, she could disown it. She could come out there and say, don't do that. Hell, Eric Hudvey right now is threatening to sue a third-party group in the state of Wisconsin for what I see as politics as usual. You know, Eric Hudvey got money through his bank and benefited from this or that. Well, that's the way things are characterized in politics. But I would say, ultimately, Ross, you know, if you're a voter in the third and you live in Crawford County, I believe that's your district, sir, you have a say. Listen to the Shanklin interview a little bit later today. Just had Rebecca Cook on Thursday of last week. So if you didn't hear, please check out the podcast and compare the contrast the candidates. But I don't care who wins the primary. Come Wednesday, I'm supporting them to beat drunken day drinker Van Orden, allegedly. And I already throw an allegedly in there. Right. We all know he's in a bar right now.
Yeah, right. And it kind of depends on who's going to be the best candidate to be, you know, got Shankle with all this, with this history. And sometimes you can get labeled like, oh, yeah, you're the career politician. You've been a Democrat, hardcore Democrat for years. And I sort of like this outsider idea of Rebecca Cook. And I'm frustrated that Shanklin hasn't tried harder to get her. Because I'm kind of new to the third district. And so I sort of had heard about her. But then here's Rebecca Cook. And I wish that Shanklin would have been campaigning a little bit harder. I'm wondering what it was that finally got her to get onto your show. But it doesn't matter. I'm glad that she is. It's kind of a tough choice. But yeah, you're right. Ultimately, and I'm hoping that Ben Wickler is able to throw some money at this, which they failed.
Ross, this will go beyond state money. DCCC. They did not come to the aid of Brad Path, who lost to Derek Van Orden by about 4 points with no outside support, effectively. And my understanding is whoever wins the third CD is going to be the recipient, the beneficiary of like $4 million in DCCC money. So both candidates are sitting there waiting with open arms. If they win the primary, they're more than willing to, you know, put their campaigns at full speed ahead. My understanding is some late dark money has come in. We can ask Shanklin about this at 5:30, but there has been some spending to support her campaign as well. My understanding is she did not renounce the spending to the benefit of her campaign. You know, right. No one wants to unilaterally disarm in this political cycle, right? Why would they? Why would they not take the support of any outside group? And if they're saying untoward things about your opponent, that's not really you. If you don't like the money in the politics, we gotta win a legislative majority at minimum in the U.S. Congress. So someone's got to win the third. And it can't be drunken Van Orden. Come back. It's a happier hour with the Devil's Advocates.